open up a big old can. Good times, unwind, falling out of love in the same dollar. Can't say I got a whole lot of cares. I'm in the redneck Riviera. It's getting crazy. I'm getting hammered, sitting right here at the Flora family.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. We'll be in touch with the program. Hit us up there. So come on the program, Dale Jackson from WVNN and Yellowhammer News. And then in 11 o'clock hour, State Representative Alan Treadaway from Morris, but used to be the deputy police chief in Birmingham, has requested some time on this program. So we have obliged, and he will be with us in the 11 o'clock hour, so please stay tuned for that. Joining us now, she is our Monday, every other Monday regular, always a pleasure to bring on State Representative Jennifer Fidler, my state representative. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. Thanks for coming by, as always. it's been a crazy week. For me, politics, presidential politics, but you know, you're looking around state level wide and kind of what's going on here locally. I guess that show goes on, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's been interesting. Thank you to President Biden for getting out of the race. I just have to say that.
Well, this is chaos. I don't know. I am. Really underwhelmed by a lot of this, especially the party that preached to us, represented about democracy for the last 5 years. This is what you call democracy. Okay. But, I digress. Well, let's go here. Last time you and I were talking and I think this is an important issue, and it's not really in the news, but especially Baldwin County, kind of interesting, the way things are going, the way the economy's changing here. I mean, I grew up Baldwin County. Yeah, it was the beach, but before you got to the beach, it was just farmland, Robertsdale, farmland, Somerdale, you know, and you go all the way down and you know, you look at Eastern Shore, sort of the same thing. That's changing, isn't it? And there's this sort of economic shift. Is we're becoming less agriculture oriented here, it seems, as people are kind of selling off their plots of land.
Well, I mean, it is kind of economic. You have these large farm fields, or that's, you don't have to take any trees or brush off. They're flat and ready to build upon. The agriculture rights are worth about $7,000 or $8,000 an acre here. And the development rights are worth about, if you develop it, you sell it for development, they're worth $50,000 an acre. So when, these farmers are trying to survive, and that's literally what your small farmers out there, most of them are trying to do, is just, you know, survive. It's a love of the land. They're stewards of this land. And they're, you know, going from season to season, crop to crop, and, you know, just hoping everything comes out. So, it's an economic choice at the end of the day to develop or let a developer come in.
I think a lot of it, though, now, it's just the economics, the economy, inflation, all the input cost, labor. You go down the list of all the things you need to be a farmer. Or you can just cash out, sell it off, and don't have any of those hassles anymore. I mean, that's sort of the way we're going here.
Well, and the generational, the children are seeing it. They've seen how hard their dad and moms have worked and how much it takes to get into it. And those children would be the ones that kind of understand, you know, the whole farming technique. And they would know, you know, what it takes to bring a crop in. It is so hard, difficult, hardly achievable for someone who didn't grow up in a farm family and doesn't have the land to get in and start farming. I mean, just because of the price of the land. And in Baldwin County, think about how we can get another crop in our ag lands here in Baldwin County, we're in zone 9A, meaning for those folks out there that don't know a little bit about horticulture and growing, we can pretty much get another season in because, you know, the we get a couple frosts, we get several freezes a year, but a lot of, we've got some crops that'll get through that, and so we can grow through that. So we've got a we can grow a little bit more, several more things than our folks, our neighbors, our colleagues in North Alabama. I serve on the Public Safety and Homeland Security Committee. And in my mind, you know, I think about from the ag side, growing up on a farm, I think about that is our security. Our food is our security.
Right.
And just it's so important to have that source local. Not being so reliant on transportation means to get it here. I always think about a conversation I had with one of my friends that was in the trucking company, and he told me, he said, 3 days is what an 18-wheeler, every 3 days that 18-wheeler that's filled with food replenishes the grocery shelves. So in 3 days, if they're not hitting that store, you're running out of food. And, of course, we saw that just a couple years ago. With the empty shelves, the transportation issues, you know, the every 3 days that, you know, the 18-wheeler supply and milk, you know, food
right
on the grocery store. And I think about the, you know, prime agricultural land that we have just gobbling up, you know, around here. And it does, it is a concern to me. It's easier to plant houses. It is an economic decision for these large landowners, these farmers, these farm families. You know, when they are, when they get the land, you know, when they are inherited the land, they get to pay what their fathers or grandfathers, you know, whenever that money changed or that land changed hands, there was a value on it. And just say it was $7,000 an acre, it could be $2,000 an acre. And today it's worth $45,000 an acre. So they get to pay the taxes on that base, you know, value. And they just can't afford to keep it. And so when people don't understand why these large landowners or children have got to let this land go, that is, that's a big reason. There's a, it's not worth $40,000, I mean, $2,000 an acre or $1,500 an acre anymore. They get to pay what that difference is. And that's part of the economic decision. And these children, you know, going off and getting a job that they can have a better pay than the farm pays.
Well, it's just, and then the work you have to put into it. I mean, there's a lot. There's, you know, you talk to these guys from Alpha or you talk to Rick Pate. What's the next generation of farmers in Alabama look like? They're not, people are opting out. Longtime farm families are, you know, the new generation's opting to go do something else. And when it's like, I was on one of the little Alpha trips, North Alabama, I don't know, about 3-4 years ago. That's what we talked about. Like, well, they're trying to do things to get people back into it, but given the economics of it, it doesn't seem like there's many takers.
Well, given the economics, it's probably so overwhelming for someone young to really even be encouraged to try to get into the farming field because, I mean, just how do you economically do that when your land around here can be developed for, you know, the farmer can sell it for $50,000 an acre, $40,000 an acre, and the ag rights are only worth like $7,000 an acre. I do want to say that Baldwin County has an environmental committee, subcommittee that's been working on this and looking at to see if the residents here in Baldwin County are interested in preserving land, and they've talked to farmers. The farmers are worried that they're thinking that a voluntary program would be the way to encourage large landowners to probably keep or sell their development rights for a time period. Just say they sell their development rights for the next 30 years. It would allow that farm family to continue farming, you know, and just keep the ag rights on it, agricultural rights.
Now, the other thing is, so you go look at other places outside of Baldwin County, and I know you know, guys who like have like made their fortune or they've since retired and just kind of as an investment, they go and they buy some farmland and the idea that it'll preserve and hold value. And almost all of them say, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time, but it's just, it's too cost prohibitive. It is very, very difficult. And I would recommend against investing a lot of money into buying a farm and trying to do that. I mean, that seems problematic to me because then you look, what else do you do with the land? Timber seems to be kind of a whole separate animal. And you could use that for like hunting land or whatever, but all over the state, I hear this and that's the gripe. Like, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time, but man, it was just, it's a good way to put money into something and lose money. And that is that seems like a deterrent.
It's a large investment and you just keep your equipment going alone. I mean, if you invest in, you know, new equipment, you've got the new technology. Well, there's a learning curve and even maintaining those pieces of large equipment. You stick with your older tractors, you know, you still have repair issues. And that's a big part of the issue there. There's a large amount of investment in the equipment alone. You start getting into your cattle operations, which we talked about last time I talked to you. Cattle is at an all-time high, and so we're proud that for these cattle farmers, maybe they can recoup some investment there. It's a large investment all the way around, and it's kind of a money pit. But I mean, it looks great.
Well, and the other thing about it is, I mean, talking about Baldwin County specifically. There's a lot of farmland here. I mean, if they really do start selling it off and start building subdivisions or whatever, what's the environmental impact? Let's talk about the Weeks Bay and the runoff there. And I'm sure there's other places where if they start developing this land and Baldwin County keeps to grow and instead of having, I don't know, 40 acres of farmland there, all of a sudden there's like two subdivisions. What happens? I mean, what does this kind of take a toll on the resources here?
Well, one thing comes to mind, and it was a concern that was brought to my attention, and it is a concern. And this is happening just across the street from me, where I live in Baldwin County. But you have a 40-acre parcel, and this 40-acre parcel for the last, anytime we get 80 inches of rain or so, which is not uncommon, many years we've gotten up to 100 inches of rain annually, you'll start having this water kind of sit on top of the soil. And the cows grazing is fine. You know, they're tromping around in some water and the grass is still able to grow. But there's a soil layer about 4 foot down that is actually a hard pan, and it just takes a long time for that water to drain. But when we go in there and put a subdivision and plant houses on top of all that, and we just move that water to that retention pond, how does replenishing our aquifers, what does that mean for our aquifers and putting water back into those aquifers that this city, you know, this is how our residents get their water, is in those aquifers. And we're blessed to have some great aquifers, plenty of water. That has to affect it because we've just taken off a 40-acre parcel of land that slowly percolated through that subsoil layer down. But what does that mean? And then how many times does that get to happen before it does seriously start to, you know, affect those aquifers? That came to my attention. I had a constituent asked me that question, and I've started looking into it, and just it's a valid concern. And then you talked about the subdivisions. The number one issue with nitrates going off, water runoff is off our residential lawns, not necessarily really farmers. Yeah, because they're putting out sometimes, you know, you got so many people putting out these nitrites that trying to get green that lawn up that it just runs off, you know. It's an issue, it's a question, and valid concerns.
Is it does this really fall on the local government, so or the county commission or whatever? I mean, that's where the buck stops. What is the state legislature? Do you have a role in any of what's going on here development-wise?
That's a good question. You know, the county commission, I feel like environmentally, we, you know, this water issue, I think that's valid.
AM kind of thing, maybe.
Alabama Department of Environmental Management should be looking into it. I know the Mobile Bay National Estuary Program has looked into it. Those are concerns that city and county government should have, providing, making sure their constituents and our people here have water. And that the water's clean, you know.
On the other hand, that they would say to you, well, we don't have any affordable housing in Baldwin County, and we just don't have places to put people. So, they're looking at it from that side of it, too, as the developments come more and more. I mean, I guess it just, at some point, we're going to have to decide what do you want to be over here, right?
I think it's a balance. It's a balance. I mean, we've got the largest geographical, county. Size-wise, we're the largest county on this side of the Mississippi. We can do this. It's just a balance. We can have affordable housing. We can keep some of our prime agricultural farmlands. It is a struggle for our farmers because they cannot, it's hard for them to get up and down the roads with this large equipment. And with so many people on this roadways, for them to safely move their farm equipment up and down the road, it is a huge challenge for them. It's a struggle.
Let's get a quick break in here. We've got State Representative Jennifer Fidler sitting in with us here for another segment. 251-343-0106 is the text line. I'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again.
Once was a thought inside my head.
Welcome back to the Jeff Boers Show at FM Talk 106.5. 55 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. Dale Jackson coming up in the next hour. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, 251-343-0106. Get in while you can on the text line. Still with us, State Representative Jennifer Fidler, Silver Hill. Got a few more minutes with her. One of our reporters at 1819 News, Erica Thomas, has written about this a good bit. The coroner in Baldwin County is, I would say, overwhelmed. The population is growing, 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 and then they're still operating on this, what I understand is a small facility in Robertsdale with no growth, and there's all these outside buildings, but getting that up to speed, for some reason, hasn't happened.
Well, it's a costly endeavor. The coroner, I've served on the advisory committee for the coroner's group, and looking at exactly, how many deaths that we are processing. We do have in this huge population growth, and these different things are affected, and then we have the tourism that comes through, all this, and it has bumped up the numbers of deaths that he is processing. There's an increased number of issues with the sheriff's department that they have to process, or they get to process, and the district attorney's office, and there's all these businesses that are affected, and the coroner's office is one of those, and he is that affects our percentage of the number of people he processes by at least 15% or so. So the number of people coming down here, some of them die, at the beach and that sort of thing. Well, the coroner's office gets to process those, and he is they do have additional staff that has been helping. However, it is quite a bit. The coroner himself has gone through several certifications and trying to keep his education up. And And he has his deputy staff that's done the same thing. And then it's just the number of people that have come in. Fentanyl is our number one death, by the way, here in Baldwin County. Fentanyl overdose. He's got a way of tracking that and testing that. That's up to date. But he really needs the coroner's office, and we need, I feel like, in Baldwin County, a way to get these bodies in and actually figure out why they died. I think we owe that to the families. We owe that to the person who died to know, you know, the cause of death and to really have time to process that. With the number of people we've got in, coming in, and the just the lack of space has made that very difficult for him to really get that processed. And he's doing a great job.
I said we got to get out of here, but thanks for coming by. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
All right, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
We'll be right back to CFM Talk 106.5.